talk to us just for a moment about inner child, a little bit more about inner child work, maybe for 10 minutes or so. Some people have asked me to do that. I think not everybody is equally familiar with this process. It's kind of a Jungian process, or what we call depth psychology, which goes beyond Jung, to where really the different means for working with our unconscious. The idea is basically this, that when you're a child, say even up to the age of 7, when you start to develop a logic, okay, until then, your defense system protects you. It's like a protector. If something happens that's too traumatic or is too hurtful for you, whether that because the parents have done something or babysitter or somebody has gotten angry at you, even though parents may feel fine, it's no big deal. But for that little baby, use a little baby, it may have been too much for the mind to handle. And when that is the case, the defense system immediately just takes over. It's like Bhagawan gave us this to protect us when we're little and we don't have any way to protect our psyche, really. So the defense system kicks in and it swallows that whole experience. It swallows what I call a dyad. Any trauma, really, there's the person who's traumatized and the reason for the trauma. Right? And so even if the reason for the trauma was not a person, maybe it was a volcanic explosion or something, it was a trauma that took place, something that took place that was traumatic for you as a child. So often it has to do with the family constellation, with the family system, your little mind. Even when you're a little baby in the crib and the baby's, you're crying and nobody's picking you up in time, then the defense system has to try to kick in and protect you, you know, from being too overwhelmed. So now when that happens, both the child who's afraid or being traumatized or hurt in some way, along with the cause for the hurt, that's what I mean, a dyad. A dyad means two. Two things are together. So say it's parent-child. The parent and the child, that dyad, along with the emotion, with the affect, whatever has happened, that whole thing is just swallowed. In fact, if you ever see that happen to your child, or for me, my niece, or nephew, I've seen it a few times with the people I've worked with, the child just goes, and then back, you know, takes that second to swallow, and then they're back playing with their toys and whatnot. So the defense system kicks in, boom. But now what happens is when the defense system kicks in like that, that dyad is being held in your unconscious. The trauma, along with the images involved with the trauma. So say it was between father-daughter, for instance. Then what happens is the trauma, the feeling, the emotion that can't be handled by the child is immediately taken into the unconscious. But it's taken into the unconscious with the image of that trauma. And the image usually is some, it doesn't have to be absolutely realistic of what has happened, but it will be impressionistic of what actually happened. And it will be impressionistic of also, say, the father and the daughter, or the father and the son, mother, daughter, whatever the constellation is that makes it that dyad. Those will be there inside because the whole thing is taken in. So the whole thing just kind of disappears as though. But it doesn't really disappear. It stays there in your unconscious. The event with the dyad involved, the child and whatever else is involved with it, that is there in the unconscious along with the emotion. So it'll just stay there, nicely stay there, projecting out onto, you'll find that either, and you probably noticed this in yourself, it's kind of a shocking experience, but when it projects out, that event projects out, it needs a trigger out here in the world. And so say, for instance, someone is a trigger for you, the little girl or little boy, 3 or 4 years, that person is a trigger. And so then what happens, that dyad is triggered, and you, the one who is traumatized, lands on the little person or whoever it happens to be. It could be an adult also. It's just something, whatever, triggers that little child, and that child lands on that person. And guess who you get to be? You get to be, what lands on you is the other half of the dyad. So you'll find yourself acting just like your father used to act. It doesn't matter. Gender is not a non-issue for the psyche. So you as a woman could be just acting exactly how your father used to act or how your mother used to. It just depends on what is composing the dyad. And then sometimes, so you'll think, oh my gosh, I'm just like my father. Because at that moment you are, actually. That's what's been triggered. And it's kind of shocking because if the father was what we call in a kind of a very negative way, actually, but sometimes psychologically it's called he's the perpetrator in this particular trauma. You know, so you become the perpetrator because that's triggered. The other person gets to be the little child, and then that invokes the perpetrator in you because both parts of the dyad will come up. And then say the other person, whoever it is acting, and say it's father-daughter, is acting like your father, then you become the traumatized child. So it goes back and forth like this, you know. And so what we need to do, and it will go back and forth endlessly, the trying to work with the projection as a reality out here doesn't really help, because the problem is not out here. These people and situations are simply triggers for the activation of that dyad, and then we act as though that's really happening out here, and actually it isn't at all. And so you can get into a mess out here, really, because the other person doesn't know what you're talking about, because there's so much projection taking place. And so you get into the habit, you get in the habit of just, especially if you're hurt, you know, and it's a big hurt, you have to get in the habit of going inside and be with the hurt first thing. You be with that hurt and you just talk to it. Because people want to know, how do I get in to be with a little child? How do I actually do that? Well, the best time to do it is when there's some hurt inside or some reaction inside, because then you just talk to that emotion as though it were a little child, because it is there in the unconscious. And the dyad is there in the unconscious, right? So just have some shraddha that, yeah, that big hurt or fear, all of these things that happen to us, that is really so explosive or the way that it is because of that little one inside. And so that's the one you need to work with, you know. And then the whole dyad, in fact, because she or he will tell you, if you talk to that one, they will often talk back to you unless they're too young. If they're too young, then you be with those feelings. You know, it's like, how is a little baby that didn't get picked up in time going to talk to you? But you can feel her presence or his presence, you know. And then you can talk to, you can imagine yourself picking up that baby, picking her up or him right away, holding her tight, being with her until she really calms down, just like, that would probably happen in real life. And if that crying was caught in time, then you'd pick up your baby and stay with it until it calms down, and then everything becomes fine. But the problem is what if it doesn't get picked up? What if the mother is out gardening or something and that crying goes on for too long, you know? And so then that defense system kicks in and the baby becomes quiet again and everything's fine because that trauma has been taken care of. But it remains there for your lifetime to project out, to project out, to project out whenever the situation warrants it. So the wonderful thing is that Bhagavan has given us these backup systems so that we can actually go in and be a good parent. Good parent means in this given situation that now I can correct whatever happened by going in and giving my little self what I really needed at that time. And you know what that is because it's you. So when you go back into that space, you know what that your little one needs because that little one is you. And then, imaginally, you can totally be with that emotion. The emotion is not really imaginal. The emotion is taking place in your body. But you can be with that emotion or those feelings as you would be with your real little child, you know, and give the comfort and love and let it talk to you if it's old enough and tell you what's really going on, and being a good listener. Like, I know I've seen some of you here when your child is upset or something. You're just there waiting and being a good listener and wanting to know, you know, what happened and what's really going on and all this. That's exactly what the child needs. Just needs to know somebody big is there who's really God to them, actually. You say that in psychology. You're there. Ishta Devata, you are Bhagawan. You know, you are the one who protects and loves and cares for. And so you give that love and you be patient and listen to the whole thing until they become fine. Until they become fine. So if it's happening in the world, real world, and you've caught it in time, they will become just fine in a relatively short period of time. You know, because now they have what they need and everything is okay, and then they'll just run off and play and there's nothing held inside. But when it's kind of sequestered there in the psyche, sometimes it takes a little bit of time for all of that trauma, all of that affect to be released. And so we take time with it. Don't be in a hurry. You know, just be, for me, speaking for myself, I'm just so grateful that these backup systems are there, because if they weren't there, there's no way really that we know of to totally release the psyche, the unconscious, from these affects that are being held inside. We have this. This is not the only method. Like, even when you do different types of massage, because they say that these affects they're really held in the body. So sometimes when you're doing massage and things like that, you'll get big releases. In meditation itself, you can get big releases of affect. But I would say this, even though we get those releases in meditation and we get those releases in massage and Rolfing and very different, you know, there's many different methods, it's still important to go in there and be with that little one inside. Because a release is nice, but it's not quite good enough. There needs to be contact between the conscious mind and the trauma, you know. And even if you don't know exactly what the trauma is, because you don't remember, it was too young when it happened, you can still be with it and talk to that little one inside. You say, I know you're really hurt. I don't really remember what happened. Can you tell me? No, I don't know. It's okay. You're with me now. You're with me now, and nothing's going to happen to you. You'll be with me, and I will always take care of you. So then they feel safe. So Jung will call this, you know, dealing with the psyche or what is going on internally. He calls it the reality of the psyche. This is one of his huge contributions to psychology, is to not dismiss your psyche or the images in the psyche or the emotions that are held there. It's just something. Yes, nothing, like some imagination or something, and just dismiss it. It's not nothing. It's actually not nothing. It's very much something. And it causes, it really dictates the way we are in the world and the way that we handle people, the way we handle ourselves. Much of our relationships and much of our problems are due to these unconscious traumas that are kind of buried inside. So you have the capacity to go in and be with them. That's what's so nice. And you say, well, how do I find them? Well, follow your emotions. That's really the best way. Or you just ask, does anybody inside have anything to say? Talking to the little ones, you just simply ask a question and then follow your feelings and be with them. Just experiment. Know that they're there and they're so happy when you come. Otherwise, they're trapped in the unconscious. We look at them actually from a Jungian perspective as almost autonomous figures inside. It means that they take a little piece of your libido, your psychic energy, along with the emotion, and they sequester it in the body. Actually, we say that unconscious is stored in various parts of the body, and so that libido, that energy that belongs to you, is not available, right? Because it's holding, it's there. That energy is part of that complex, and it's holding, it's being held along with the emotion, along with the dyad. And so once you learn how to go in and be with it and love it, to be a good friend, to welcome it, to hold it, to embrace it like you would do your child, you know, then what happens is slowly but surely, as it gains trust and is able to be held for some time, that psychic energy releases and comes back to your body, comes back to your mind for your use, you know. And so some of us are holding probably quite a bit of psychic energy, libido, in the body, just for being there because it was swallowed, and now the muscles the muscles in the body have to keep it there. You know, so the body becomes like a, what do you call that? Like a safe. A nice thick safe that's locked. And so the little one might want to come out. You know, but it can't come out. You have to go in and get it. It can't come out on its own. It has to, something has to be able to bring it into consciousness, and that has to do, the best one, in my opinion, the best way is for you to go in and be with it. And that becomes the doorway to repair, you know, to reimagine the event, what happened. So sometimes when we're doing this inner child work, we'll say something like, go ahead and be with that little one and have those conversations and have that happening. And another thing you can do, not in place of, but another thing that's often really helpful is to just imagine it in the way you wish it would have been. Because that's how the little one would have, what you imagine is you wish it would have been, how it would have been. You wish your mom would have been like this in this situation, or you wish your dad would have been like, or whatever it is. And then you reimagine it, the whole thing, you know. And there's a couple of things that happen with that. It sets up another pathway. And it's not that it replaces. You're not going to forget what happened, don't worry. You'll always remember. But somehow it sets up another pathway in the mind that releases you a little bit from that, quite a bit, actually. So that's an important thing to do. And also, you realize really what you didn't get. That's a little painful, but you do realize what you didn't get when you imagine what you wished you would have gotten. Because that will contrast to, at least from your own little child perspective, what didn't happen. And that's also very, very powerful and gives you more to talk about. Gives a little girl, a little boy more to talk about, and you more understanding also, because it will highlight what you actually didn't get. But it will also give you a memory, as though a... it's not exactly a memory, but it's a revisioning of your childhood that somehow is very helpful. It's hard to tell you about all of this. You have to try it for yourself and see how kind of amazing that all is. Okay, so let's see if that's enough. I can think of other things and talk about it also from time to time. So just letting your body relax. And invoking that inner friend. Invoking the inner friend, one way you can think about that, we've done a little bit of that, but another way to think about it is invoking your Ishtadevata, being that, or invoking your beautiful, mature self. The one who is not a cause for fear. The one who is not afraid and is not a cause for fear. It's called Abhayam. It's the sannyasa vow. May I not be afraid of anyone, nor should anyone be afraid of me. So invoking that beautiful quality of yourself that becomes more and more present as you mature. So just imagine yourself as mature, or as your Ishtadevata, the one who who revels in the Atma, revels in the self. And you can spend some time now doing that inner child work. If there's something that's bothering you that is creating hurt or emotions inside, that becomes a beautiful pathway. It's by being with that emotion and talking to it and kind of letting the little one who's probably, you know, part of the dyad of that emotion, let it be seen, let it be held by you. Or just addressing the unconscious itself, saying, does anyone inside have anything to say? And if you feel that your mind is really, or those little ones are really too defended at this time to feel safe talking to you or to anybody, you can remember some of the traumas, some of the hurts that might, that you may or may not remember, but you may. And then you can talk to it as a good parent. Like, I remember when that happened, that may have really been scary for you. Or even if they don't respond, you make yourself, make your heart as a very beautiful, loving parent available to them. You're checking in, see if they're ready to be with you, and give them time. Not 2 or 3 minutes, give them days and months. For the safe to open. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Shanti. We'll have class at 11:45.